Good morning, everybody. It is, what is it, Tuesday? It's the last day of April. Holy
yes,
hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tomorrow is a brand new month.
Yep, and a public holiday.
And a public holiday. Jack Mortlante here with me, and you hopefully up and at 'em first thing in the morning. I hope you're having a great start to your day, and you're ready to kick some ass.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Just take a couple of names while you're at it.
Yeah. We're not here to, what do they say? We're not here to fuck spiders.
Who says that?
That's what people say. You don't know this?
No.
All right. Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Yo, I've had a busy 2.5 days.
Yeah, it's been hectic.
Holy shit. I can count on one hand the total number of hours in 48 that I've not been awake and busy. So that's good. I mean, listen, you need those occasionally.
You do.
But yeah. I'm so happy that tomorrow is a public holiday. I can just crash and do zero. So expect to hear nothing from me over the next 24 hours.
No, ditto.
What is it? It's Workers' Day.
Yeah, Workers' Day. Yeah. To some people, it's just simply May Day. They call it May Day.
Well, it's got a long history for socialists. It's a big special day for them. So I think it was included in the official public holiday register for South Africa because a bunch of communists and socialists decided in 1994, no. Look, Freedom Day is important, but actually,
Workers' Day.
Yes, let's get the Comintern going again. Some people just can't give up on a bad idea, huh?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like, I think the only time they'll give up is if they're 6 feet under, but you know.
Well, or they put everyone else 6 feet under. That's usually what they prefer to do. Anyway, we're not going to start on a depressing note because it is Tuesday. We are going into public holiday. Mm-hmm. It's like a mini Friday today. And we've got quite a lot to get to. We got some Democracy 101 for you a little later on. Mm-hmm. And there's some news that we have to get into and discuss. But why don't you start off? This is interesting. I have never, because I don't have kids at kindergarten age. I don't even have kids, but I've never really thought about nursery school. I remember I went to nursery school. It was mostly just, there was like, I mean, if I think about it now, it was pretty good schedule-wise. We had like scheduled nap time.
Yes, sir.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Be like, now, children, we're going to have a nap. Man, what I wouldn't give for that at the workplace these days.
Like, yeah.
Bring on that nap time. And you had a little pillow. You remember? Have
and
a little sleep.
Blanket there.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah.
But as an as an adult, I do not do power naps at all. I'm one of those people, like, if I go to sleep, I need the full 6 or 7 hours. Because if anything interrupts my sleep, I am up. Like, going back to sleep is a very difficult thing for me to do.
I don't really think we should be making nursery school or kindergarten, as a lot of people call it. It's a very American term.
Yeah, it is.
Well, German originally, but American term now. I don't think we should make it too complicated. Like, I see parents trying to squeeze all kinds of extra lessons in there. We're talking like, what, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
Because 5, 6, you should be starting school.
Yeah.
But before that, you should just play. I don't want them learning computational science and coding and complex language at 2, 3 years old. I'm not a parent, but I wouldn't like. There's got to be a point somewhere in the kid's life where they're just a kid.
Yeah,
just playing.
Unless you're born in China.
Oh boy. Okay. So the Chinese are going to force them to learn everything by age 4.
Yes, sir. And
right.
So I came across this video on TikTok.
Oh.
It blew up. So it's got about 47 million views right now.
Jesus.
And a bunch of comments as well. So these kids, it's like the routine that they go through at school. I mean, they're jumping, or like they on monkey bars. They're doing this synchronized dribbling with 2 different basketballs. It's absolutely insane. I sent James the video. James, have you got me, bro?
Yeah, put that up there. Let's take a look.
Check this out.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Look at that. They make their own lunch. How cool is that?
Okay.
I like the communal aspect of it because they get to share amongst themselves. Look at that.
All right. Okay. Look.
How... That is actually beautiful to see.
Yeah.
For me personally, if... I was their age and we were being put through those kind of drills and whatnot.
I'm not sure I like it.
I love it.
There's like a Goldilocks zone somewhere between making it look like the kids are in a military training camp, which is what a lot of that looks like.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, and really, I mean, look, obviously, this is why China's going to win.
Mm.
And it's why it would take about, I don't know, 100 well-trained Chinese soldiers to overwhelm our entire military in this country.
They're
all fat. They're all useless. They all don't know how to march in time. I don't know if you saw on Freedom Day on Saturday, the President's Guard were marching at the Union buildings. I mean, it's
they were
like
playing at marching.
Those Chinese kids could march better than those guys.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Now, here's my thing.
But so hang on. So there's the military training aspect to that, which looks very impressive. But you think, these are little children. I don't mind them making their own food and learning skills. And, you know, there's obstacle courses and stuff to keep them amused. But like that regimented stuff, it makes me very nervous when governments start making, because that's the government that's making them do that.
Yeah, sure. But
making,
you know,
children forced. Okay, children, today we're going to all learn how to climb ropes.
Yeah. The flip side of that, Gareth.
You like this.
Look, there's discipline baked into that. You also get muscle development, all of this stuff, dexterity, and all of, like, there's so many positives that I got from that video, especially the communal aspect of things, because these kids are now learning how to work with one another instead of in opposition to one another.
I mean, Sharon says it looks like they're having fun. Definitely talented children.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. If they're having fun, if they're genuinely enjoying it, great. I mean, I don't think discipline is a bad thing.
Sure.
In fact, I'm all for discipline, especially for children who just have none, especially if kids don't have any of that at home.
Because unruly children are the worst.
Worst, right?
The worst. No,
only time I ever really encounter them is on planes and,
yeah,
you know, the occasional bit of public transport and sometimes in a queue somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or at a push restaurant, those ones that allow kids.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't really, and it doesn't seem too hard to get your kids to behave. Like, it doesn't seem like it's the toughest job on earth. You know, there are people who, like, work underground, and it's, like, 45 degrees all the time.
Yep.
And you can't really see, and you can't really breathe, and you're digging out, like, filth from the walls of the earth.
Mm.
And that seems to me like a harder job than getting your child to behave.
Without a doubt.
People say parenting is the hardest job ever.
Those people.
No, it isn't.
Like, go work on an oil rig and let's have a conversation afterwards.
There we go. So don't tell me like parenting's the toughest job in the world. That's absolute nonsense.
Yep.
But if you can get your kid to behave, then that's the first step in parenting. You get a badge.
Yeah. Yep.
But there are a couple of badges that come after that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether I want kindergartens like this, but I want something more in that direction.
A bit of structure.
Yeah.
Never heard.
Like,
you know,
I think kids at South African nursery schools, what I said before when we were at nursery schools, like, they sleep, eat, play.
Yep.
Which is fine. Little bit of discipline, not a bad idea. I just don't want them to be turned into little military soldiers.
Little minions.
At the age of 3 or 4, and these kids are like learning to march in perfect time. I mean, I find that all pretty scary.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm all for it. Like, perhaps we can draw the line at just how much of their day is given up to that kind of discipline and exercise and marching and all of this stuff. Perhaps if they're there for 6 or 7 hours out of the day, then it's pretty cool. But then they have to also be able to be kids, right? At the end of the day.
Okay.
So I think let's split the difference. You're at school between 8 and 2. And then from that point, you kind of left to your own devices. But while you are at school,
you learn things.
You learn things.
Yeah. I mean, school's not just for many parents, school is like, well, it's a place you could send your children so you don't have to be with them.
Right. It's like those little rats are finally out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's interesting. And maybe there are, you know, the things that are a little less kind of militant
mm-hmm.
that I think I could be warm to.
Yeah.
So Sean says in the comments, at least you get to go home after the digging in the mines. Are you saying parenting's hard because what? It doesn't, you never have an off day. Well, again.
Sean, I'm not sure you want to go down this road, bro.
Sean, people have been raising children since we were like hominids, okay? Like we just climbed down from the trees and we've managed to, like small mammals can raise their children.
Yeah.
Don't tell me this is the hardest job in the world.
No, it's not.
You know, yesterday I was at Marapeng with these American guests of ours, and I saw again like Homo naledi and Australopithecus sediba and these early ancestors of humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are terrified little, you know, little creatures.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That would have been like trying to hide from predators that were eight times their size.
Sure.
And they managed to raise children. Otherwise, guess what? None of us would be here.
Yep.
So if they could get it right with their tiny brains, size of an apple, and not really the ability to use any kind of meaningful tools. I mean, maybe they could brandish a stick.
Something of that
but,
sort, yeah.
I mean, these were not advanced creatures.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Know? And if they could raise the kids, I think you'll be okay, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be okay. We don't need... We don't need to use AI to raise the children for
yep.
you. Know what
and
I mean?
And resilience is something that kids should learn pretty early. And so a little bit of child abandonment is pretty good.
Abandonment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's Jack's.
Just in small
there's
doses. Jack,
there's Jack's
small
not doses. Uncontroversial point of view. Okay. Very
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
In the wise words of Dr. Phil, says Tracy, we're not raising children. We're raising adults.
Mm.
Okay, yeah.
Well.
Fine, fair enough. I'm not sure what that actually means.
Neither do I.
Slippery Pickle says, all Michael Jackson's digging was done at home. He never had to go to school for any of that.
Ooh.
Dirty, dirty, dirty Slippery Pickle.
Ay, ay, ay. And you know how I feel about the Michael Jackson stuff. Like, that's
Pumlani,
another rabbit hole.
Pumlani says, imagine a job you do while wearing pajamas and calling it difficult.
Yeah. Come on.
Good point, well put.
Hmm?
It's the most rewarding job in the world. All right, I don't want to go into a whole like argument now about parenting being the best job or the worst job in the world. I'm not here for the fight. I'm really not. Again, it's been an ongoing and recurring theme this last 2 weeks is parenting.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to know if you're a parent, you have my support.
Mm-hmm.
And very often my sympathy. Because it's hard. It is tough.
It is.
But what we're saying this morning is it's not the toughest job. You know that platitude people throw around at each other?
Mm.
Oh, you know, you're a mom. Oh, it's the toughest job in the world.
Guys.
No. Really?
Guys.
There's some guy who's trying to, he's in a laboratory and he's working with dangerous toxic chemicals every day. He's probably shortening his lifespan every time he does. But he's trying to discover a cure for something or...
Mm.
And long hours, way too much coffee, no relationship, spends the whole day in front of either computer screens, microscopes, whatever. Is developing an alcoholic habit probably on the days that he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And his job is significantly harder than feed the kids, take the kids to school.
Yeah.
It's, again, moms and dads. You have my support and you have my sympathy, but you cannot claim it's the toughest job in the world.
No.
I'm just not buying it.
Yeah. Let's not overinflate our egos. Let's just keep
it'd be
it
like
exactly
me saying,
where it is.
Oh, it's really hard doing this show because, you know, if we're 5 minutes late, everyone knows. So hard. And we have to talk about really, really hard stuff. I mean, I can sit here and moan.
Yeah.
No one's going to believe me. Now feel sorry for me. Please.
No, we don't care.
Nobody cares about anyone else's suffering. Sooner you realize that, the quicker you become an adult.
Yeah.
These people who wander around constantly complaining about their lives. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. But if you are, just think about the fact that actually nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody's waiting. Imagine waking up in the morning, going to work or going to school, or going to university or whatever you do during your day, going to gym. And the first thing you have to hear is some other asshole moaning about, oh, I've had a very, very hard life. And, you know, when I was 7, My uncle made me sit on his hand. Nobody's interested. Just because Oprah used to make TV out of this nonsense doesn't mean anyone is sitting around waiting for you to tell your sob story.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. Get no on with it cares. In your life. Make a difference. Try to help other people. Try to make some money. Try to put some food on the table.
Mm.
And let's talk about fun things. Okay?
Yeah. Right. I agree.
Yeah. Completely. There we go. Okay, there's my rant for the morning. Done.
Yeah.
Sure, it's always a relief when I get it out early.
That way we can carry on with the show, right?
Then I can move on with my day.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Ginger Ninja says, parenting is the only tough job if you is only a tough job if you're doing it wrong. Well, again, I don't have experience with this, so I can't really say.
Yeah.
Pumlani says, a child gives you a hard time. You tell him to take a nap and you drink wine. Imagine how difficult.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Very good. What do we got here in the news this morning? Let's take a look at some of the stories in the news. First things first, you told me that people, homeless people, are camping out
at
Lutuli House.
And there's a video.
How fantastic.
I didn't get an opportunity to send it to my good friend James.
Explain it to us.
If, for those of you who are familiar with Lutuli House, you know it's like right at the corner of... what's that street? I think it's Sour and...
Rissik,
yes. Yeah. And all the way around the corner from the entrance of Lutuli House, all the way around to where Lutuli House comes to an end, you've got homeless people sleeping outside of Lutuli House.
With ANC branding right behind them.
Right behind them.
So it's a beautiful picture. It's like, this is 30 years of democracy and look what we've done for the homeless.
There you go.
Nothing.
And... what I find absolutely amazing is the ANC themselves aren't the ones that are complaining. It's the businesses next door that are complaining about this.
Of course not. Because you know what? There's probably no one going to Lutuli House at the moment. They're all busy campaigning.
Yeah.
The last time we checked in at Lutuli House, they weren't being paid. Remember the tea lady hadn't been paid. The cleaners hadn't been paid. Mm. They were like, sorry.
They were like 2 seconds away from selling furniture. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily that Iranian money came in.
Hey.
It's hard to decide who I have less sympathy for. Probably the homeless people I have more sympathy for.
Definitely.
Because, you know, it's tough. You're a homeless person. You don't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
But you do have an option about where you make your little, you know... your little encampment.
Oh, yeah.
Where you put your blankets.
And your
booze.
Your few earthly belongings.
And your tuck or whatever it is that you've got with your nyaupe. You know,
and your whatever.
So you've got a couple of decisions to make every day as a homeless person. But I have a lot of time for the homeless people who've made this an opportunity in an election year to campaign against the ANC.
Yep.
I'm like, you know what, guys? Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You've chosen the right place to set up your little encampment.
I love it.
Mm.
I absolutely love it. I wish I could put that way of thinking into a lot of the people in my neighborhood. Whenever things go wrong, they decide to trash our neighborhood. I'm like, guys, this is a bad idea. Let's go to the problem.
Go and leave your feces right at the door. So that Fikile Mbalula has to step over it to get to his office.
There you go. I love that.
Because then he will realize, like, oh, that's what government's here to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
See, these politicians, they live in a world where they don't actually encounter real life things.
Yeah, they don't.
They've got bodyguards, blue light brigades.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else buys their food.
Yep.
Someone else pays for their house. Someone else pays for their fuel. They don't really work. They sit around and talk for a living. They've never like replied to an email or set up a meeting that isn't just more talk, getting things done, making things happen, actually fixing a pipe or, you know, they don't do any of that.
None of it.
So they're disconnected from reality. Then when reality meets them, like on the street outside Lutuli House, they're like, oh, that's terrible.
We've got a problem.
How did this happen?
It's like, hey, no shit, Sherlock. We do have a problem.
Yes.
It's just that you are finally having to deal with it up close and personal. It's sad that there are homeless people like that, but I am happy that they took the initiative to sleep on that corner specifically. I love it.
All the corners Who knows? We may have homeless people listening. I don't have anything else to do.
It's possible. I think they're using one of those free Wi-Fi.
If you're one of those homeless people, then let me know, because we'll get you on the show and talk to you about your decision of where you want to set yourself up, and what a great decision this has been.
Yes. Okay. Love it.
So I don't know about you, but I realized, like, it feels like just yesterday I got my new driving license card.
Okay.
Because we have to do them every 5 years, which is insane. I mean, I don't see it. Why is that necessary? It's purely a money-making thing, right? Uh-huh. So the Department of Transport is set to introduce new driving license cards at the end of April, but there's no sign of the printer being installed or even arriving in the country. The printer will be used by the Department of Transport's driver's license card division to manufacture new cards with improved security features, biometric data, holograms, and watermarks. Why we need all that? All you need is something saying you can drive or you can't drive.
That's it. And you just slap a little barcode on the back of it. That way it's unique to you, and that's it. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know. Anyway, all of this stuff where they constantly, you know, like, I was pulled over yesterday because they do these checks. And then they want to look at your disc. They want to look at your card. It happened the day before. I don't know if there's just a lot of Metro police around, or maybe I'm driving around a lot.
No, they're busy these days.
But why are they checking me all the time? It feels like there's a lot of this that's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're people who don't have their license up to date and all that stuff. So I understand they're probably looking for those people so they can extract money from them. But a driver's license, once you've got it, why do you have to renew it?
I don't get it.
It's done. It's not like they're pulling over 99-year-olds and saying to them, hey, listen, you're too old to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Those 99-year-olds, I have even seen very, very old people who need help moving, like moving their bodies, being guided, hand-held into the, what do they call it, license center?
Yeah.
And applying for a new license. I'm like, clearly this is just a performance, because that person can't move their legs. You need your legs to drive.
Yeah.
They are not in a position to drive, but no one's stopping them. It's just like, go through the procedure, stamp this, hand this in, sign that. So what's the point? And we all know that you could buy a driver's license anyway from some corrupt official.
Yep.
So they're lucky packets.
In fact, these days, in order for you to get your driver's license, you're going to have to pay someone a good 2,000-3,000 rand just so you can get the test. Like, it makes no sense to me, because seemingly, unless you literally lose your mind, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to just keep on driving. It's like riding a bicycle. If you've learned how to do it once, you should be able to do it for the rest of your life.
I mean, listen, until you go blind or, you know, and in any case, I think that you should, as a responsible citizen, go, well, I'm blind. No, I shouldn't be driving.
There you go.
First of all, you'll kill yourself. And second of all, you'll kill other people. But this is not rocket science.
It isn't.
They apparently have a 2-decade-old printer that is kept at some building in Pretoria. And it has struggled to keep pace with demand over the past few years. The new printer will produce cards faster than the current one. Turnaround from successful application to delivery shortened from 14 to 5 business days. However, the department's use of a single machine at one location has been criticized by OUTA and the DA as an anti-corruption measure. Another card. So I don't know about you. I've got the old green barcode ID, which apparently is the one we have to use for voting. That's the only time that one comes out, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's got a second barcode in it for voting, as far as I know. My old one does. I keep it in the safe most of the time, because then I've also got an ID card. You got one of those?
Nope, not yet. Okay. I'm still old school green book.
Okay, so you have the green mamba.
Yes, sir.
So green mamba, you get the card, and then you also have to have a driving license card. Now they want to update the driving license card with all kind of biometrics. And for what? What, you're like, what, the CIA is looking for this information?
Like,
on
really?
South Africans? Okay. Really? I mean, how long did it take them to track down, you know, Thabo and Nandipha?
Jeez.
And And I'm sure that they had some fake driver's license or ID card or something. They opened bank accounts and all kinds of things. So what are you? Who are you trying to kid? It's like all this Fika and Rika stuff. Now, anybody who's watching or listening to us this morning and you've had to apply for a phone, a bank card, a home loan, a car, whatever it is that you're trying to do to get your life going, you need to fill in tons of forms.
Yes.
And you could just bullshit through all of those forms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always joke that when I drive into one of these estates with someone at the gate and you have to fill in this form, I always put Mickey Mouse.
The honesty book.
Yeah, I lie. I was like Christopher Columbus, right? Yeah. And then and nobody's ever called me from there. I mean, I think they just give it to these call centers who call you up to try and sell you insurance all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how else that form is any use. I don't think anyone's ever gone back and go, you know, I'm actually quite concerned. You know, we had an incident on the 30th of April. Let me just go and check from 8 years ago. Go and go through the old book. Why are we filling in all these forms? Why are we participating in this shit? I saw something amazing on the internet this morning that apparently there are now people with paintball guns in London
mm-hmm.
who are shooting paint at the cameras.
Cameras, yeah.
They've got cameras all over London. You right. can't move. It's like a surveillance state.
It's the Truman Show.
Big Brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people want to know where you're walking, whether you're going this way to work or this way. Who's sitting in an office trying to figure out where everyone is walking to work? And is that anybody's business?
They sell you the idea that it's for your safety.
Ah, please.
You know? Because if we're watching everything, we know exactly what's going on.
Please.
And if someone mugs you or
some
whatever,
guy asleep
we'll
at
be
a
able to
computer
catch
terminal.
Them. It's like, yeah, no. You just want to control where we move, how we think, what we do on a daily basis. It's like...
Paintball guns for cameras in London. Great move. Don't comply with all of these forms. You know, you can actually refuse to fill these things in. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to participate in all of this information gathering nonsense. When did, if Fika and Rika worked, wouldn't we be able to catch crooks doing illicit things?
At a moment's notice.
You'd know because it would be... You know, the whole point behind any of this stuff is that if someone is committing criminal activities, you can use the records to figure out who they're communicating with so you can get all the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
But no one, I don't think in this country anyone's actually using that system to catch crooks.
Not at all.
Right? So then why are they going after ordinary, good, honest citizens? Leave people alone.
Yep.
Stop with all this info. You're ridiculous. Driving up the wall.
Like, I mean, even when you hear about some of these tax evasion issues, like it blows my mind that they wait for someone to have a tax bill that is north of 2 million rand before they do anything. It's like, wait, whoa. Where were you when it broke 50 rand? Like, why did we wait until it got to 2 or 3 million rand?
Yeah.
Now we have to liquidate his house or whatever the fuck. It's like, what the hell are we doing? Meanwhile, they've got all our information. Like... Our bank accounts, where
so
we
much,
work,
so much
where
information.
We live.
Listen,
ay, man.
I had to fill in a form the other day, and I'm sure anybody, Pumi said she had to take her son to go and get his ID at 16, first time mm-hmm. he's needed, right? Have you ever filled in a form and found that you filled in the same stuff three times in the same form?
Yeah, yeah, but.
Mm-hmm. What's your name? You write your name. And later on in the form, what's your name? You're like, she gave me my fucking name.
Mm-hmm.
And you need it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then third time, then they want you to write it again under your signature. We're like, oh, no, sorry. I just swapped identities. I got an alien to come and sign the last part of the form.
Shit. You should try
Who
changing.
Is looking at all this? Who's processing all this?
You should try changing your surname or adding
boy.
A name onto your... Like, that's when you throw him into a tizzy. They're like, they don't know what to do with that.
So we live in this world where you can simultaneously... have to fill in 28 forms just to prove that you're allowed to walk this way to work.
Yeah.
But you can decide your gender on a whim. Or decide to change your surname and it's like much less of a fuss, right?
Yeah.
I really think that we put more effort into all of this bureaucracy than we do into important life decisions. Like, you know what I'm going to do? Today, I'm going to set the following business goals
mm-hmm.
for myself. There are no forms.
None.
There's no long kind of bureaucratic process. Nobody's sitting around doing that stuff. And that's the stuff that would actually make a difference, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, people are filling in all these forms. If we got rid of these forms and all of these cards and these IDs and checks and balances, and I mean, South Africa, no one's checking that stuff anyway. Mm-mm. If we got rid of all that stuff, you know how much time we'd save?
Jeez.
Huh?
Yep.
Anyway. All right. So good luck to the Department of Transport. I don't really care. And you know what? Frankly, we live in a country where if your driver's license is expired or any of that stuff, you just cocker. Cocker.
Yep.
And that's how it works. So let's stop pretending we live in a law-abiding country where, you know, people are so worried about the law. But the government can't enforce the law. So do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you like. Look at what we did with the e-tolls. We ignored them. And guess what happened?
They
eventually had to scrap them.
Yep.
Those gantries on the highway now, I don't know. It's like
they're
ugly,
decorative.
Ugly, pointless bridges.
Yeah. Right? It's like every now and again when you're driving on the highway and
do you
you're
ever drive under those things
asleep,
and think, yeah.
And then the lights.
It's there to wake up sleepy drivers.
There you go.
There's a use for it.
I think it's useful that way.
Oh my God.
But outside of that, they just serve no function whatsoever.
Don't know about this. It seems like it's true. Over the past 5 years, civil servants in South Africa have earned nearly $3 billion in incentives, including performance bonuses and 13th checks. Yes, just think about that quickly.
These are the people. Servants doesn't sound right in the story.
No, these are erstwhile masters, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So between 2019 and 2024, just the last couple of years, national departments spent over 726 million rand on staff performance rewards.
Mm.
Show me the government department that's shooting the lights out in South Africa. Show me the office somewhere in Pretoria, which is just performing way beyond expectation. show me where. I want to meet this. I want to meet one person who got a bonus, and I want to see what they got up to last year or the year before, or the year before that.
I think
just one.
The Minister of Energy and the Minister of Electricity are sharing a generator right now. So I think that's a thumbs up for them.
I'm blown away. So over 3 billion rand in performance bonuses. So
Jesus.
Provincial administrations enjoying the most public servants accounted for the lion's share of the bonuses. The provinces totaling 2.2 billion over the past 5 years. In 2021, amidst economic stagnation triggered by COVID, 819 million rand was given out as bonuses by the provinces.
Yeah.
Since 2019, nearly 129 million had been paid to about 400 government officials who were on suspension, on full pay. So that means they've done something wrong. They were suspended and they got bonuses.
So it's not a performance bonus.
Well, it's just
A bonus.
This is just because the minister or the director general, it's like they like you.
Yeah.
You brought them tea one morning.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Listen to this part. They've apparently spent over 42 million rand on just 56 luxury vehicles for 23 ministers and their deputies to use for official purposes in Pretoria and Cape Town. I have a very easy solution to this. If you work for the government, from the president right the way down to the lowliest bureaucrat in the lowliest department in Pretoria, you get a bajaj. You don't get anything more. That is your car. We would solve this problem instantly. The president has a presidential bajaj. It's a little, we can paint it in fancy colors. We can put a little blue light on top of it, but it's him and his driver.
That's it.
They can have a bajaj behind in case that one breaks down.
Sure.
But no fancy cars for government officials. Why should they?
Mm-hmm.
We're paying for them.
Yep.
They have the blue light anyway. They get there faster than us.
Mm.
So take the bajaj.
Well,
save the people money. If you really care about the people, this is a campaign election year. Get rid of your fancy cars, Mr.
They will
President.
They'll never do it. Never.
No minister should drive anything but a bajaj.
They would never do it.
The ministerial bajaj.
Where would they put their smolanyana skeletons in a bajaj? You need space for a skeleton.
I showed somebody who's not from this country a bajaj on, what was it, Sunday night. He just started laughing. He's like, what the fuck is that? He's like, that looks like a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we need to give our government officials.
Yep. It's like, here's a forklift with a back seat. Drive that.
Come on.
Have fun.
I think it's a great idea.
I think so too.
42 million rand we wasted on cars for these ministers.
Are you kidding me?
A couple of weeks ago, I saw
they posted this thing on X of how many cars and bodyguards, mayors, and all of this shit. Like, it grew exponentially. Like, a mayor now has got 8 cars. It's like, what are we doing?
What for? Okay,
no one is trying to kill you other than people in your party.
Yeah, it's your own people who are trying to kill you.
It's not us. I promise you it's not us. You don't need
bulletproof glass and stuff on the highways.
No.
The ordinary citizens are not trying to kill you. They don't even know who you are. Most ministers, we wouldn't know most of the ministers if they jumped out of our Rice Krispies and bit us in our titties this morning at breakfast time. So we're not thinking about you.
At all.
You don't need all these bodyguards and cars and armor and all that stuff. The comment by Arbot, the presidential bajaj could be tinted with bulletproof windows and upgrade an engine. Maybe, but still only a bajaj.
Only. Nothing more. In fact, like, that level of humility might just teach them a couple of really important lessons.
It would teach them, first of all, because it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not allowed on the highway. They would have to use back roads, and they'd have to be up early, and they'd have to plan ahead. Because if you're a minister or a president and you can't plan ahead, you shouldn't be in government.
You shouldn't.
You have to have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
You have to have an idea of what you're going to do to make the country better. So if you can't even wake up on time to get to your appointment because you have a slow bajaj, can't take you seriously.
Cannot. Can you believe we're having this discussion about our government officials having to work?
Oh, okay. Good point. Well put. Listen to this. I didn't know. But government employees are guaranteed a 13th paycheck equal to 1 month's salary.
It's a guarantee.
Do you know that it's typically issued on their birthdays?
No, I didn't know this.
Performance bonuses are given out based on the audit outcomes of each employee's department. The Department of Public Enterprise has been addressing the financial issues of state-owned enterprises by allocating 325.3 billion rand for bailouts since 2020.
Oh, my God.
I just didn't realize, like, a 13th check, that's guaranteed in government?
Guaranteed.
On your birthday.
Yes.
Okay, so now you know how it really works.
Let me tell you something. The more I find out about the world, the darker it gets. It's terrible. And the idea that then these very people, the very same people, are going to walk amongst us in the next couple of weeks telling us how they've got our best interests at heart.
Yeah, big plans.
It's like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face right now, we're going to have a problem. Like, a genuine problem.
All right. Very exciting. So,
bloody fools.
I want to talk about your passwords. You know, it's the end of the month. A lot of people have reminders on their phone to say, we've got to change our passwords, because you should be doing that. I know most of us, like, you don't change your driver's license every 5 years. You just let it expire. Passwords. I found this amazing graph. James, put this up on screen. Apparently, okay, so take a look at this. This is the time it takes a hacker to brute force your password in 2024. In other words, to be able to hack the password.
Yeah.
So if you have 4 characters and they're all numbers, it's instant. Any hacker worth his salt will have your password instantly. And it gets more complicated as you use numbers only, lowercase letters, upper and lowercase letters, upper, lower, and numbers. Numbers, uppercase, lowercase, and symbols is the best. Wow. But you have to have more than 4. In fact, the golden area here, as far as I can tell, you only need, like, you know, 29,000 years. I think if you don't want a hacker to break your passwords, for 29,000 years. It's a lot longer than you're going to last. That's a good number.
Yeah.
Just use lowercase letters and make 13 of them. Then you'll be fine. Okay? It'll still take him 29,000 years to brute force your password.
Yeah, until you forget your password and you can't even get it anymore.
Come on. What, you can't think of like 13 letters?
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Come on, you can think of that. That's not so bad. All right. You could go for less. Let's say, you're not going to live much more than 1,000 years. Okay?
Yeah.
161 years. That's okay. Use numbers, upper and lowercase, and you only need 9 of them. That's 161 years. Come on, that's good.
That's good. I think that's good.
So that's really, I think that's quite reasonable. 9 numbers, upper and lowercase letters, and you'll be good for 161 years.
Yeah, I like those odds.
If, however, you are clever enough to use numbers, upper and lowercase letters, and symbols, and you make it 18 characters long, they will never break your password for 19 quadrillion years.
Jeez Louise. I don't think the world's been around for 19 quadrillion years, so good luck to them.
It hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 13 billion years is about the age of the Earth. So if you use 17 lowercase letters, it'll take as long as the Earth has been around going forward for people to crack that. It's just a useful little thing that I saw was published here by Hive Systems, and I thought, okay, we need to know how hard these hackers are working in the background.
Yeah.
We often talk about this stuff with Yaku from Catalytic. He's like our expert on this. And there are lots of people who are employed full-time in companies just to make sure that no one's hacking the system.
Yeah.
So come on, guys. It's not that difficult. You really don't need a 9 numbers, upper and lowercase letters, and you're sorted.
Mm-hmm.
They won't bust you. They won't be able to crack your code for the duration of your lifetime. You don't have to keep changing it, but just come up with one good one.
Yeah.
And make sure nobody hears what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like sounds you get good. Those people who write their password on a piece of paper right next to the laptop.
It's like, what are we doing? What is going on? It's like moving into a dangerous neighborhood and not locking your doors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I dare you. Come on.
Imagine getting up at a like, remember in the days of the internet cafe? Let's just say a coffee shop, because that's much more what goes on now.
Yeah.
People go to coffee shops and they work from there,
restaurants,
whatever. Sitting there working, and you get up and go to the bathroom with your internet banking open. That's what it's like.
Yeah. You're like, you know, I've got no use for this money. I've got no use for this laptop. You know, might as well share.
So I thought that would be interesting for us to look at, just because we never think about these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very true.
We're going to need to get those green Mamba IDs out for the election. We'll need to use them for voting.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about music?
Oi, Gareth.
You've got an issue.
Oi, man.
Jack McLunt has got an issue with music. He's angry.
He's livid.
Concerned that music is going backwards.
It is. And
sound like such an old man, but all right.
Look, I don't care. And I'm going to say it anyway. Here's my problem, right? I'm gonna read lyrics from Ice Spice, right? Tell me if you believe that we're headed in the right direction when one of the biggest musicians on the planet is saying things like, you think you the shit, bitch? You're not even the fart.
This is the actual lyrical context.
I kid you not.
Okay.
Beautiful. She then goes on to say, I'll be going hard. I'm breaking their hearts like... Bitches be quick, but I'm quicker. Bitches be thick, but I'm thicker. Bitches be rich, Gareth.
But I'm richer.
What is going on here?
Hardcore, high-level poetry and philosophy going on here.
Oh, my goodness.
So what are you concerned about exactly?
Here's my thing.
I'm not sure I know what the problem is. Really think it all needs to be... This needs to be what, Lord Byron's Don Juan?
No, not at all. I grew up in a time where if you were a fan of hip-hop, you needed at least two brain cells to rub together. Because these musicians used to say things like, yeah. I'll leave you in the middle of nowhere like the letter H. See what
that's,
I mean?
That's smart. I like that. Okay.
Now,
all right.
We are stuck with people like Sexy Red, who says, I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds, my coochie pink, my booty hole brown. Gareth, what are we doing?
That's for real?
That is for real, for real.
My coochie pink, my booty hole brown. Oh, wow. This is masterful. I'm actually kind of intrigued.
I could never...
Tell me more.
Okay, let's keep
this
going.
This is great.
Where are the niggas? I'm looking for the hoes. Quit playing, nigga. Come suck a bitch toes. Okay?
I can see someone cutting these out of the show this morning and just spreading them around saying, what are these people talking about?
What are they even talking about? That's I sound crazy just saying these things.
Yeah.
And my problem is the artistry of music is slowly dying. And as a person who makes music as well, like I find it so frustrating because the people that inspired me to actually get into this stuff made music that you could live with, music that could comfort you, music that could make you happy, it could console
you.
It gets worse.
So Tavo says people don't actually listen to Ice Spice. We watch her for her ass and we don't listen to her on the radio.
That is a lie. Tavo, you're lying. People do listen to this shit. And
but surely, I mean, like these days, you don't even have to be a great lyricist.
No.
You could use ChatGPT and you could come up with better lyrics than these.
Yes.
And these are like too dumb for AI. That's how bad they are.
It is ridiculous. Wait.
Theodorus says, it's art, you old fart. It's called cloud chasing. I'm not sure whether he's upset with you or me, but Theodorus is very, very much on the side of these lyrics.
Okay, Theodorus, I'm going to put you into the same bucket as these people. Listen, I've got no time for this trash. No time for it.
Give me some more.
Let's keep going. Let me find you another one of these insane things. Taking her man, don't give a fuck, out in the yams, and I'm keeping one tucked. I make some jams. Unlock the advance. I said for 100 bands, just do my little dance. It's like, this feels like a child who was asked to write a poem after
a very
being
disturbed child who's worked in a strip club from the age of three.
And they were taught about Dr. Seuss, and they were like, hey, can you write something along those lines?
Except Dr. Seuss is good.
That's the difference, Gareth, when some thought is put into the stuff.
Tavo says, true, booty hole can only be brown. And Slippery Pickle wants to know, because you mentioned the yams, was she just saying something about sweet potatoes?
No.
Oh.
So the yams these days is considered ass. All right? Is that ass?
Ass.
That's yams. But still, man, like this is such low resolution thinking. It makes me so, so mad. Like when I was growing up, there'd be a time where you'd hear a song on the radio and you'd sit there and you'd write the lyrics just so you could understand what was being said. Now it's like these people just walk into the studio and someone says something random and they decide, okay, yeah, that's what we're going to put in the song. My pussy pink, my booty hole brown. Is that what we do? That's what we do. Like, listen to this. I'm out here in Miami looking for the hoochie daddies. So it's no longer hoochie mommies. There's hoochie daddies now. Looking for the hoochie daddies.
Hoochie daddies.
Where the niggas that get the ratchet? My son need a new pappy.
This is great.
What?
I love this. This shows you this very low IQ people in music. I like it because it's low barrier to entry. Anyone can do it. You know, people used to say to me, oh, You used to do that TV show where you'd judge people singing.
Yeah.
Idols. You'd be, and they'd say, how do I get into the music business? And I'd say to them, oh, it's so hard. Don't worry. Do something else. You know, become a teacher or a policeman or a doctor or whatever. Like, we need people with skills.
Right.
We don't need any more musicians. But now, I think actually I should just be saying to them, listen, if Ice Spice can do it, you can do it too. And you don't even need to be talented.
Not at all.
You don't need to have any skills or talent at all. Just start, just write crap like this.
Go crazy.
Just throw a whole lot of words into a bowl on pieces of paper and just rummage around, pull out a couple of words, put them in a line, and you got a rap song.
That's it. All you need to do is just make sure that they rhyme and you are fine.
There are some terrible, terrible rap lyrics. I mean, you just have to look these up. Your booty is heavy duty like diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
Not really.
There was a time I used to think, you know what? Vanilla Ice, I think the world owes you an apology, bro.
Yeah, Shane, we thought Vanilla Ice was the most embarrassing rapper ever. And then we discovered like 2010s mumble rap.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and I am a rap fan, so I don't want to say that the genre is bad because we all know that there's quality.
Yes, there is.
Right, and I grew up very much in love with what Tupac and Biggie were doing. Even before we found out that he was a total pervert, Diddy.
Ugh.
I've got a lot of time for those early rappers. Those guys knew what they were doing. The proto rappers, the guys who really understood how to make great music and could rhyme and had the rap battles and they were like testing themselves.
Oh,
it was
my
like
goodness.
Top line stuff. But somewhere along the way, and I got to give a special shout out to Kendrick because Kendrick Lamar made sure that there was still quality up to very recently.
Yeah.
But these new guys, I know we sound old.
But wow. Like, I mean, it's just,
I mean,
Lil
Wayne, I'm in the ocean getting shark pussy.
What is
that? That's just
what's
horrific.
Going on here?
I don't know.
Now bestiality is a part of the rap
shark
game. What
pussy?
Are we doing? What are we doing?
Okay, got so many chains, they're calling me Chaining Tatum. Break.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
She eat nut like a burger. She said it's sweet just like nectar. Little Yachty. Little Yachty.
Yeah.
Do me a favor.
Yeah, like, guys, look, man, you can call us two old men, but the truth of the matter is we are not going to move society forward with listening to this kind of nonsense.
Just give us the coochie pink,
like,
booty brown. Just one more
time.
One
more time. Sexy red. Sat down and jumped into the depths of her soul and thought this would be the perfect two lines for the song. And she said, I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds. My coochie pink, my booty hole brown. Where are the niggas? I'm looking for the hoes. Quit playing, nigga.
That's crazy.
Come suck a bitch toes. You know what, sexy red? I would much rather cut your toes than suck them at this point, okay?
Like, that's so bad.
It is terrible.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
All right, so excellent work here. Very much a creative pursuit, which is worth continuing.
Yep.
You got more?
No, I don't.
Because I mean, I don't think they have any more.
They don't, no.
I think that is the apex of the creativity that's going to be happening in the in the rap world of 2024. Just Plain Jared says, man, I miss the 80s. Lyrics were so clean. Well, I'm not saying I have a problem with dirty lyrics, okay? Because I've always liked someone who's pushing the envelope. But make it clever.
Make it
interesting.
Make it clever.
Like, give your audience a little bit of credit, right?
Yes. Like,
that's all.
Something as simple as, I don't give a fuck like a Catholic nun.
That's good. That's good.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Right.
It really isn't that hard. So yesterday, when I decided that this would be one of my talking points today, I legit spent most of last night listening to top quality hip hop.
Oh, good.
Because I needed to cleanse my mind.
What did you have in there? What was in the mix there?
Everything. I had some J. Cole in there, Kendrick Lamar, Tupac, Some Biggie in there, Method Man, Red Man, a little Eminem in there as well.
Yonder's got a little list of his own. I'll just go over the ones you haven't mentioned.
Yep.
Ice Cube, Master P.
There you go.
Snoop.
KRS-One.
Dre. Eminem, 50 Cent.
Yes, sir.
J. Cole, you said. That's pretty much the list. Like, after that, you don't need more than that.
You really don't. There's a song, for those of you who haven't listened to Jay-Z, there's a song called 30-something by Jay-Z on Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most creative, strategic songs I've ever heard in my life. Right?
I'm so glad you read us these brilliant lyrics this morning.
Yeah.
My life has changed forever.
It is.
It'll never be the same.
Right. Because we needed confirmation that booty hole was brown.
If anybody's feeling like, my life isn't going anywhere, I'm not really getting things done, and I feel like an underachiever, just think about the fact that those lyrics are in an actual song that is popular.
Certified platinum in the States.
There we go. So it's sold enough copies to make,
Sexy Red.
Sexy Red rich.
Yeah.
While you slave away today, while you eke out your existence, Sexy Red is putting bullshit lyrics like that to songs and making a ton of money.
Yep.
You know what? The world's unfair. Where? world's unfair. Park that big ass truck right in this little garage. Cardi B, genius. She's another genius.
She's another one. That's what? WAP or WAP, whatever they call
it. Yeah.
Wet ass pussy.
Right. Beautiful.
It's like, okay. Thank you. It's great. Very good. Great.
And my stove turned beef to patties and I ate it because I'm so addict. That's Lil Wayne.
You know what? Wayne, he's also flirting with some of these stupid lines. Like there was some, this is the same guy that once said, picture me like a gallery, capture what I say. I could spend 20 minutes.
You see, that's beautiful. But
I could spend 20 minutes deconstructing that line. But then he turns around and says stupid shit like that. I'm like, what's going on here?
Can we also mention how words have changed? When I was at school, there was a Mrs. Booty. No one laughed, sniggered, or made fun of her bottom.
None. No one. In fact, when I was growing up, booty was considered a treasure because of these, pirates and stuff.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, booty. Pirate's booty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen. I believe we've gone here. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Democracy 101 coming up next. Don't go anywhere.